B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot, damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
Pump your ass.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, Bring the Heat.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's bring the heat. It is a great day to bring the heat here. You hit the Bring the Heat line at 610-771-9751. You leave your messages there, and the best of the best make it onto the program. Let's see what we got today, Andrew.
All right, I got a question for you. If Carson and the Eagles would have beaten the Cowboys in the second game last year, the game that Carson got the broken back from, if they would have won, would he have played the next game?
That's a great question.
It's actually not. Because that's not when he fractured his back.
Well, that's true. But if he wins,
does he keep playing?
If they win the game, does it? Because of the fact that fracture happened early in the season, I got to believe the answer is yes.
They would have kept going with him?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so, too.
That's just my read. It looked like he just wasn't, you know, obviously he wasn't playing well. I think he would have been playing.
You got to the point of diminishing returns because the back was bothering him so much.
Look, more.
I'm telling you, it's ladies' day here.
I'm stunned. We're outside Xfinity, the Xfinity Live, and there's packs of girls.
Droves of women today, like busloads.
Like just packs of girls hanging out.
It's crazy. I don't ever recall seeing this ratio.
Tell you something, Andrew. I forgot.
He's engaged.
Yeah.
That's a huge loss. Dude,
you got to get down here.
But real quick, back to the caller's point about that Cowboy game. Maybe he would have kept playing, but the injury happened much earlier than that. I know for a fact that before the Vikings game, he was suffering from major back issues.
Right.
Major back issues. Like couldn't sit down back issues. What's next?
I don't know what's more beautiful, seeing the Penguins get swept by the lowly New York Islanders or the Philadelphia Phillies dropping 14 runs on the New York Mets.
Yay! You know, we have not had nearly enough glee in the Penguins going down in the sweep.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. The Isles gave it to them. Four-game sweep, but depends.
I got to tell you. Yeah, probably. But I got to tell you, I'm so, like, flabbergasted at the NHL playoffs so far.
It's upside down.
What is going on?
Yeah, it's wild. That tournament is so hard to predict.
Like, I thought the Islanders had a shot in that series, but not to sweep them.
I thought they looked like an easy out, to be honest with you, but the coach is tremendous.
And the idea that Columbus sweeps Tampa, I don't know what that means for the game. You asked a great question. Is it good for the game? I think no.
It's not good for the regular season.
Well, why play it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like the regular season like you just to watch hockey.
Right,
yeah,
but it determines nothing.
Yeah, and it only determines that half the league still gets into the playoffs, and if you get in, you can do anything. It's really wild to see, but the thing about it with the Penguins, that era of the Crosby Malkin era, and all the number one draft picks they traded over the years, and they may have to bust that thing up.
Yeah, yeah.
That dominance of that generational player with Crosby, it might be over.
I agree.
I mean, he was pointless in the beginning of that series.
I agree.
I mean, it's crazy to think, but maybe that era is over. Maybe they're on the slide. So we'll see.
That is amazing. The Lightning and the Penguins get swept. What is your thoughts about that, Jason? I say it's bad for hockey because too much parity. I want the good in the playoffs. Okay.
Well, too much parity? Is parity a bad thing in sports? You like your dominant teams. And look, the Penguins went back-to-back cups, and then a great team won it last year.
That's not parity. Well, it is parity.
Parity defined.
But it's not the way we use parity in the way football. Like, you shouldn't. First of all, 16 teams get into a playoff. You can't have the worst team sweeping the best team.
But that's the sports, like basketball, that could never happen in the NBA. Like the 16th seed versus the one, they don't even do it that way, but still, it just wouldn't happen. But we thought it couldn't happen in the NCAA tournament either. That's a little different. But to me, I don't know that would you rather have the gap between the best team in the playoffs and the worst team in the playoffs? Like sometimes the 8th seed in the NBA is under 500.
Yeah,
they're there just to get bludgeoned.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then they come in as that they should be bludgeoned. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be able to sweep the one seed.
Well, that's parity, though. If
that's
you favor
bad.
Parity.
But that's bad. That's not even parity. Let's flip a coin.
Well, it doesn't happen all. This is very rare, by the way. That's never happened before. A President's Trophy team got swept in the first round. Never happened.
I just remember the Flyers lose to Canucks.
You know, Vancouver, when they were doing the cross, the...
One to 16.
Yeah, I like that. That's a lot of travel for a series early, isn't
it? It's like a three-game series, though.
Yeah, they did the best out of five.
Who thought that was... No.
Oh, best out of three?
Yes.
Oh, my God, what a waste that is for the playoffs. Now, I don't... There's elements of it that
it's
cheap in the regular season.
I hate it.
But I love it in the playoffs because you never know what's going to happen.
Not a sweep. A seven-gamer? Six games?
Well, you got to give...
Not sweep.
Dude, full value for Columbus getting it done, man.
Yeah, I hear you. I just don't like it. I don't like the fact that you could sweep.
It's going to change the trade deadline, too, because they had two guys with expiring contracts they kept and pushed all chips in Bobrovsky and Panarin, who were huge factors, and they went out and they added to it, and a guy like Duchesne and Dzingel, and boom, they knock off the number one seed.
Yeah.
I'm going, why'd you even do all that? Why'd you keep those guys and get nothing? Because you're going to get bludgeoned in the first round. Turns out, they sweep the team. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of the bigger choke jobs ever, though, for Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, I always root bad things for Tampa. I hate that team.
You got a Tampa vendetta.
I do. I hate Tampa. Even though it's near Clearwater, and I love the beach.
Anything good is the
and
airport
even though there's,
to Clearwater.
Yeah, I love the Tampa Delphia people.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Tampa sports teams, I hate them all.
Is that right? Well, the Buccaneers, because you felt some great pains of that team.
Well, it goes back to that.
Yep. Next.
Hey, good morning, Doc. Gabe said you want to see me. Morning, Mr. Kingery. Yeah, it's a random urine test. Oh, yeah, urine. Okay. Hey, hang on 1 second. What the hell is Franco? Hey, Mikhail, get over here. What's up? Hey, see this cup for me, please. Uh-oh.
He's not getting tested already. Do they do the random like they do in other leagues?
Yeah, they do the random.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Like in... Who's the guy that got tested like every week? Was it one of the guys in the thing with
Eric Reed?
Eric Reed, yeah. He was getting tested every week. It was like, come on.
Well, Marcus Timms last year like set a record for the amount of times he got tested because he had like a bounce back year and hit 30 plus home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So every week he was getting tested.
He hasn't hit a home run yet, or he's got one maybe.
Yeah, but last year he was on fire, so they were just testing him nonstop.
How about Yelich, another one?
Oh my god.
He's ridiculous.
After hitting 2 3-run shots the night before, it's another one yesterday.
It's a great player.
Today's Phillies trivia question for those fans, Anthony Gargano's age or younger. Wilson Ramos is with the Mets. That makes him the sixth catcher since the year 2000 to play for both the Phillies and the Mets. One of them did hit a dramatic walk-off home run for each team. Can you name that catcher?
There's been six catchers
since 2000.
Well, Todd Pratt is one of the catchers. Wow, there's been six of them.
Barajas,
Roddy Barajas,
also known as Barabbas. I hated Barabbas. Hate the Barabbas.
Who are the other ones? The other four.
That's a great question.
Jeez. You got to dig deep into the second or third catcher guys that weren't real prominent. Chooch was here forever.
Yeah.
Seemed like.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
I think Chooch did something. Didn't Chooch hit a home run last night or something?
Yes. I didn't see that.
He's playing in Panama.
Yeah. I saw that on Twitter.
Wait, in Panama?
Yeah. He's in the Panamanian League.
Is he really?
Yeah. The Panama Jack League, I think it's called.
Really?
Yeah, hit it over the canal.
That's cool. What's the answer?
Does he have the answer?
Okay. the catcher to hit the infamous walk-off home run would be none other than Todd Pratt.
I got it.
Yeah, you got it then. Good job, Cuz.
Well,
great job.
He actually left a second message saying the other names, and Gary Bennett was one of those.
Okay.
Brian Schneider was another one.
Yeah, I remember Schneider here for a little bit.
Yeah, that's not even all of them.
So
he only gave you
Barabbas, Schneider, who else?
Pratt.
Who else? There's one more.
Kenley Stinnett?
Oh, that's right. It's not Kenley Stinnett. It's
they're all scrubs, these guys.
Yeah.
Kelly Stinnett.
That's right.
I actually knew him. Kelly Stinnett was in New York when I was there. He was just a backup catcher. Nice dude.
Bullpen catcher.
Hey, nice guy. Nice guy.
Is that an intro?
That's it.
All right.
That's good stuff.
I like the questions. And then Andrew stops it, and then you get the answer.
Yeah, it's good work by the tunes.
Yeah, I like that. You got 30 of them tomorrow. Don't worry. Now that you said you like it. Jim from Saturday will be dropping the most impossible question ever. All right, that's Bring the Heat, brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experience heating and air conditioning dealer near you. Couple open lines, 610-632-0975. Some interesting angles of discussion today. We've been talking about Ben Simmons a lot based on that story that came out of the New York Post that Chris Sheridan wrote.
New York Daily News, that's correct.
About the Sixers and, you know, some dysfunction, obviously, behind the scene. Brett Brown being in purgatory. You're not breaking news there. Whether he's going to – the trial of Brett Brown is well underway at this point.
The other part of that story that didn't fit is that he tried to use the Iverson angle.
Yeah, that's a reach.
Well, the reason why he does that is he needs something to tie it together or his thoughts together. And it's kind of a red flag as a writer.
It's not – he's trying to use a comparable, right? So you can identify it in a way?
He's using a lot of it.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling that story.
Yeah, I don't either. I think there's obviously – and maybe the caller was right at saying that the source of the story is Markelle Fultz. Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, the Orlando
part
of it.
You Departed, man?
I liked The Departed. I've only watched, I think, twice.
That's it?
It's not a repeat performance movie for me.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to just watch this. I'm really hooked on documentaries right now.
Yeah,
not documentaries, docuseries.
Yeah, but you go back and watch every Sopranos 10.
I haven't watched that in a couple of years now, though. I've been really just like,
wow.
There's so much good content out there.
Yeah, there is. It was late night.
Yeah.
And I went back to a Departed. I was looking for something.
It's a stick and stay for you.
It's not a click and stick.
No?
Yeah, it is for me.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not for you?
Yeah, not for me, no.
The part is on a click and stick?
No. I got to be careful, too, like downstairs with the kids, you know, because there's a lot of language. My daughters, no, I mean, if there's
dude, any... I don't have little Moss watching.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 2 a.m. Yeah. I'm in the bed with
the iPad. What do you think
iPad.
I'm doing? Yeah. Hey, Moss, come here. Come
Snuggle
back.
Up.
Let's go. We want to watch Scarface.
Let's see how many F-bombs we can count in Goodfellas.
What's the matter with you? I gotta watch the kid. Yeah.
I'm watching.
It's not a click and stick, DePaul.
Shout out to my new friend!
No,
Jack?
I do love Scarface.
He's the rat.
That's
where Mikey Miss is wrong about Damon. He was great in that. He was really, really good in that.
I thought he was good in that, too. I'm watching this documentary. It's on HBO called The Jinx.
Yeah.
It's the life
it
and.
It got great reviews.
Yeah. The life and deaths of Robert Durst.
Yeah.
Famous Robert Durst, real estate tycoon family in New York.
It's a great story. It's a horrible story, but it's really well done.
I'm like three episodes into I think it's a six-parter. It's pretty darn good. It's a really interesting story, to say the
it's
least.
It's tough now, though. Sports eclipses so much. I had basketball games last night.
Late
night.
Phillies.
Like, the Phils were fun to watch.
Yep. There's a lot going on. No doubt about it. But real late night, like when I'm trying to fall asleep, is when I'll wind down to an episode with the headphones on. And it's a pretty good one so far. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Glenn now. And Wallingford joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Glenn.
Yo, what's going on, boys?
Yo, G.
Hey, Yo, you know what? I know that you guys are all pumped up checking out the talent walking into the bank today. But you know what? I'm kind of excited for tonight for the release of the schedule, right? I mean, it's kind of one of those little
Yeah, this was just an observation, Holmes. That's all that was. Yeah, I can't wait for the schedule too. So you know the first two, right? Washington and Atlanta on a Sunday night.
Ah, there you go. Nice, excellent. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited to find out. And here's something you'll like, guys, is that I have a buddy who lives out in Wisconsin, so his family's got tickets. So I had asked him a while ago if there was a way he could finagle some tickets for me. So I got two tickets coming my way for that game.
For Lambeau.
Dude, have you ever been there before? Yeah.
I have. I went out there to see him, I don't know how many years ago, probably about 10 years ago.
It's a great place, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was really, really cool.
Was it an Eagle game you went to?
No. It was just a random 49ers-Packers game. And this was – I'm trying to guess it was Favre was still the quarterback.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. So, well, this would be Eagles-Packers, man. That's awesome.
Dude, that's incredible.
I can't wait. And he lived here for a while. He went to school at Newman University a while ago. And so – he knows the whole, you know, the Eagles fans will travel well, and you know all the Midwesterners are on all their G's and shucks and golly hoes and all that stuff. You know, he knows that there's going to be a lot coming his
golly
way.
Golly hoes.
Now, is that a stadium that the Eagles can take over though, Glenn?
No.
Yeah, because that fan base is
no. I'm not going to take over Lambeau. They live for that. There's nothing else for them to do. They come from all the whole state.
Yeah, I mean,
and they tailgate.
Oh, from multiple states. Multiple states, right?
Yeah. Well, how about this? They're so nuts, those people, that they could be in suites or whatever. They'd rather tailgate out in 10 below zero.
No.
They're hardcore tailgate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm soft soft like custard, man, compared to those folks. So.
Man. They love their beer, man. They do.
So I'm excited to find out when that game's going to be. So tonight, when that releases, and so
that's cool,
I'm
man.
Kind of debating: do I want to go when it's like late December or when?
No, you want to go in October, November.
Yeah, mid October, early November, perfect. Great football weather. Autumnal, you get some great views of the leaves.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's like here, it doesn't really start to get autumnal until the end of October, if not November. It's Halloween, it was 75 degrees.
Yeah.
So you'll catch that out there. That's perfect, that fall weather. Ugh. That's going to be great. I wish we could do a trip to Lambeau, too.
If I'm picking any of the away destinations to take the show on the road,
it's a great place.
Because that's one of the
bucket list for you?
Cathedrals of sport.
No, without a doubt.
Lambeau Field is Mecca of NFL. That's NFL Mecca.
It is.
If you pray to the football gods, you pray towards Lambeau.
Yep.
That's where you point. And I've never been to Lambeau.
It's tremendous. It feels like football.
Yeah. Like when you go to, if you go to the campus of Tennessee.
I've been there, yeah.
I know you spent a lot of time. I want to see the checkered end zone in person.
Neyland Stadium.
Yeah.
In the shadows of the Smoky Mountains.
Or LSU.
Yeah.
You know, you go to these.
Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I mean, you go to these states. They're meccas. They're cathedrals.
It's something I've always loved is the culture of them all. They're all different.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have their unique aspects.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've obviously been to Beaver Stadium, which is a great place that, I go back to my college years, walking up the hills up there to get. It felt like. You're all hungover walking up to a game.
That's why college football is great.
Oh, so much fun.
College football is fantastic.
The pageantry of it?
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
Well, the other part of it, too, is because it's on a campus, there's great energy to the
a youthful energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the marching bands and everything that goes with it. People go bananas over it when you're the alumni. So into it. Best place for you to see an NBA game? Is it the Garden? Madison Square Garden?
I love the Garden. Garden's amazing.
How about Staples or the...
Actually, I would go Indiana.
Oh, okay. Conseco Fieldhouse.
Yeah, it's throwback. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Remember they built it. It's Conseco. Conseco is really a cool place. I love the Garden.
Right downtown there in that cool area of Indianapolis, too.
Yeah.
What about dome stadiums for football?
I hate that.
You don't like the dome at all?
Nope.
So
I hate the dome.
So you're out on like...
I hate the dome. One of the worst domes I was ever at. I remember being at the Astrodome. Oof, what a toilet that was. But
the ninth wonder of the world, right?
The Metrodome was the worst. Because it was the baggie. Uh-huh. And the whole thing, they had to have air control of how you would go in and out, or you would have a problem with the roof.
Because it was inflated.
Yes.
Yeah.
That place had no character.
What a horrible idea.
It was dark and dank.
Yeah.
Ew.
How about
it? Actually, the worst place I've ever seen a game was Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I loved Montreal. It's such a great time. But, like, as a sports fan, so you take the subway to the game, right? It's in the subway.
Yeah.
Like, the stadium is actually at a subway stop inside. There's a roof on it.
Yeah.
And there was, nobody there. There had to be, 2,000 people.
80,000 person stadium.
And it was just ugly, dark.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. Maybe there was 8,000 people there, and every one of them were smoking.
Oh.
Everyone at it. It was like a cloud. It was a horrible place to watch a game.
That's classic.
But they had great teams. Well, so the big players. Galarraga. And,
Pedro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wetland played there. Some great players.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show. We're at Xfinity Live today. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic with Jason Potatoes to tell you about Sabre Systems. They've been solving mission-critical problems for 30 years. What does that mean? Well, Sabre Systems has been handling the cybersecurity for our nation's armed forces for years. They realize that every business also needs to protect its assets from cyber threats, and that's why Sabre has launched Sabre On Point to support businesses and organizations of all sizes. Sabre On Point specializes in cyber solutions, digital transformation, and data analytics to help you grow your business, reduce expenses, and most of all, keep it secure. Sabre On Point is based here in Philadelphia, but over 100,000 users across the globe depend on Sabre. So if you're up at night worried about your cybersecurity and the safety of your business, or if you're not getting the most out of your assets, visit Sabre On Point and ask for a free consultation. Here's the website, sabreonpoint.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
1 o'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com.
All right, from Xfinity Live, kind of calm, although look at Gates. Still people plowing through.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Mikey Miss coming up at 2 o'clock.
I love the big bell that used to be.
Yeah, the vet.
The vet bell.
Yeah, it's the best.
They did a nice job cleaning it up a little bit.
Yeah, man.
That's become a good spot to get a picture before you go in.
Yeah.
A lot of people lining up, take the picture with the bell.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so cool.
See behind us here the Philly Unite signs for the Sixers playoff run. All the parties.
I got to keep those signs up.
Keep all those signs up for a couple months. How do you feel about tomorrow?
I feel like they're going to win.
Do you?
And I don't know if it's because I expect them to win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you gave it a line. I was way off. You said 3. I thought it'd be 6.5. So I'm way off on that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that they should win. I think that they should play like that every game.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know. Am I missing something?
See, I think the first game was the sleepwalk.
Yeah.
It was like the shock paddles and then Brett also going off at halftime. Woke them up, and they go, okay, this is different, guys. This is the playoffs. This isn't, Orlando or the Nets, and we can sleepwalk through a game in the playoffs. This is, okay, we got to come out with intensity. We got to set a tone. We got to dictate, and that's what they did. I think they maybe cracked the code and said, okay, now we're in playoff mode mentally, and that's where they are now, and I expect to see that going forward.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't know. It's funny. I'm looking at this thing. I'm going, all right, they have to, they got to come out, not just urgency, but they got to come out and, like, they just got to play good, crisp ball. Like, mm-hmm. They have enough. This team should not give them a sweat. It's not like we're talking about Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto, you know, look, they're a good team. And,
yeah.
You know, that's a war of a series. But this one shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, and I think maybe going into that first game, they took it that way, that it shouldn't be that, too. And the Nets stung
them. I don't know.
Them.
Is that it? I don't know. Could be. You might be right.
All right. I mean, we're kind of just trying to read it. But you look at it, too, and you know it's the playoffs now, and you know that you got to have that intensity in the playoffs. And, you know, look, I think it's so big that you got to set the tone in the game.
Yeah.
Come out. And I'd like to see them come out and be a little better right away. Now, they were better offensively in game two in the first half. And in the third quarter, we know that was historical, the 51 points. I'd like to see him be a little better right out of the gate in this game at both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
And set a tone.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Here's the only thing that worries me. What worries me is not the third quarter. Obviously, the third quarter, they were dynamic, right? But the first half is the only thing that would worry me, that they come out, they're playing great ball, and they're up and down the floor, but the game's like a three-point game.
Yeah, that's what you saw the other night, too. You're
right.
One-point lead. Yeah.
Right, that's why I was like, why are they only up one? And then they play great defense.
Yep.
And that's going to be the key.
Yeah, and I think that if you go in there into Brooklyn on tomorrow night and you do that and you come out well and you sustain through the entire game, of course, you're going to get a run at some point.
Yeah.
But you stave it off. Maybe Jimmy does what he did in the third quarter with a key possession to get a bucket to stave off a run. And if you do that and you handle them pretty well and beat them up pretty good in their own building, then you maybe took their soul a little bit.
Yes.
You know, and they go, okay, we're kind of overmatched here.
Yes.
Because that'll creep into them if you do that. If you come out of that game some way, you lose that game, then they know that they're in this series and they ratchet up for the remainder.
If you don't step on their throat tomorrow, then it could be a sweat.
It's a big game,
and
man.
If that's a sweat, that's a problem.
Against the Nets, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
You're right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Nick in Collegeville joining us on the Fanatic. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Gentlemen, how you guys doing, man?
Hey, Nick.
I tried to get in twice yesterday, but I was in and out of appointments.
What's
and the
up,
phone
brother?
Dropped going through freaking Milford, Delaware. You know where Timbuktu, Delaware is? It's between southern Wilmington and Lewis and Rehoboth Beach. Like, the whole center of the state is Timbuktu. Like, literally, if you're off the main road and you break down, you're in trouble. That's so scary. Anyway, I love the tone of the last three shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday was like you read them the right act, both of you, and you didn't pull punches on your son Ben. You brought out the little belt and you belted him around a little bit as a father.
Out of love, then, though, right? It was
out of love.
Teach the kid a lesson.
Exactly. It wasn't unfair. And then Tuesday, he got everybody got all the accolades they were supposed to, but it was nowhere close over the top because at the end of the day, we shouldn't, like you just said, we shouldn't be sweating this series. So you get the accolades for the third quarter and you know, dominating and playing better D. But at the end of the day, like, we expected to be up 2-0 or 1-1, worst case scenario. So we couldn't give them that many accolades. Now, let me just talk about Giannis today. If I tell you that this year, 2019 draft, you get the 12th pick of the draft, or the 15th pick of the draft, and you get some dude from Europe that you never heard of, what do you expect him to be? Better or worse than Ben? Or the same?
Worse.
Worse than Ben. Not even worse. Close. Yeah.
Okay, so the Greek Freak got drafted 15th in 2013.
Right.
So even though the comparisons look, you know, they're pretty similar, you know, they shouldn't be similar. You know, at the end of the day. Now, we'll give Ben a couple more years, but at the end of the day, he was the cut and dry top.
To me, that doesn't matter.
Dual denial. It's just
a perception pre-draft.
Yeah, I mean, they everybody missed Giannis, right? Like, they missed
everybody
him.
Everybody missed. Well, look, you can't say everybody, because maybe there were some guys picking 22nd, 23rd, 28th.
But
14 teams did, though.
Yeah, but, 14, but yeah. Here's why everybody missed. They all could have traded up to 12 or 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, snagged them, yeah.
Right. And you had a great – you had a Game of Thrones line on I think it was Monday. You know, it might have been when Embiid threw the elbow. You said, I'm a fan of civility. Yeah, that's like Tyrion. Tyrion, I know you're a little behind on it, but that's like Tyrion Lannister going, yeah, I'm a fan of Stability.
Yeah, with a chalice of wine in his hand.
So right. Tell me, how was Sunday night?
I was, their first episode is always like pretty good because just kind of summarizes everything that happened and just starts to give you a little bit of bait, starts putting chum in the water. But can I say you're, oh my God, I forgot the line. Aggressively disinterested in what Fultz does, what his dating scene. Guys, have fun.
All right, be good, Nick.
See you, buddy.
Do you want a couple more leaks regarding the schedule?
Oh, no.
Got a couple.
Eagles are related? Or
yes.
Oh, man.
We have T. Will. We've now hired him as a correspondent, and he's doing great work for the community.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, and these are coming from several different reporters.
All right.
To compile a list T. Will put together.
Oh, geez. Okay, so.
What we know.
So we know that Washington is the opener at home.
Right here at Lincoln Financial Field.
Then we know at Atlanta. Sunday night football, week 2.
8:20. Okay, so here's what we know now.
We'll tell you what. Let's take a quick T.O.
Tell them on the other side.
And then we'll find out the rest of the leaks.
And by the way, T. Will, you're doing great work. Because we're doing the show. We can't do the legwork. You're doing it for us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, T. Will, man.
It's a great listener.
I'm a little bit, I don't want to know, but I do want to know. So,
yeah.
We're going to find out on the other side.
Well, the people want to know, and you're a man of the people.
Yes.
That's what I know.
So we'll find out on the other side. It is the Midday Show. Jason Martinez, I'm Anthony Gargano. Hey, look, it was a takeover today. We loved it. Saber Systems, big takeover. Saber Systems has been solving mission-critical problems for 30 years. What does that mean? Saber Systems has been handling the cybersecurity for our nation's armed forces for years. They realize that every business also needs to protect its assets from cyber threats. And that's why Saber has launched Saber On Point to support businesses and organizations of all sizes. Saber On Point specializes in cyber solutions, digital transformation, and data analytics to help you grow your business, reduce expenses, and most of all, keep it secure. Saber On Point is based right here in Philadelphia, but over 100,000 users across the globe depend on Saber. If you're up at night worried about your cybersecurity and the safety of your business, or if you're not getting the most out of your IT assets, visit Saber On Point. Ask for a free consultation. That's Sabre. SaberOnPoint.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, I can't wait. We get the schedule tonight, and we have some tidbits. So we know that Washington, as we look straight to our right, Lincoln Financial Field.
What's the crane doing over there, eh? See the crane?
I do.
With a basket on it?
Yeah. So we'll have Eagles Skins open the season, followed by Eagles at Atlanta on Sunday Night Football with Collinsworth.
Yeah.
All right, what else have you gleaned?
All right, this is courtesy of our the great Big T. Will, always hitting us up on Twitter. He's combined the reports of several different reporters. This first one is in regards to week number 5 in the NFL. Can I have some music in?
Watch, so we go from 2 to 5. I love it.
We got a gap, and this is per Manish Mehta.
I got gaps.
Manish Mehta reporting that the Eagles are going to host the Jets on week 5.
All right,
I don't have a time. That's a glorious game. But they did upgrade Le'Veon.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a good game.
Week 17, we jump to.
Well, we go from week 1, 2, 5, 17
to week 11. It's November.
Week 11
it's week 11. I'm sorry, November 17th.
Oh, okay.
The Eagles will host the New England Patriots.
Oh, that's good. Man.
Yeah.
That's nice. Cross that week off.
Tommy Brady.
Tom, terrific.
The hoodie. Well, the hoodie will be in full effect.
Yeah. October.
No sleeves hacked off that hoodie.
Yeah, no.
All right. Good. That's per Jeff Howe. Week 14 of the NFL season, Anthony. December 9th. The Eagles will host the New York Football Giants on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Eagles, Gents.
So we know that there's two primetime games.
Yep.
A Sunday Nighter against Atlanta in week two, and a Monday Nighter in December against the Giants.
And we also know week 17 of the NFL season.
The last game of the season?
Last game of the season. The Eagles will wrap up the regular season campaign. It won't mean anything because they'll be on their way with a number two in the NFC seed. They'll face the New York Giants on the road.
Oh, that's good.
Giants Stadium to wrap up the season division game against what we deem or we think will be a patsy.
Okay, that's good because week 17 usually stinks.
Yep.
And I don't want to waste the Cowboys.
They were doing that for a while.
Yeah, yeah,
Oh, come on. One of these teams has nothing to play for.
So I'd rather play Giants or Redskins.
Oh,
last year was Redskins. This year, Giants.
I frankly think you should never put a division game as your last game of the year because it could mean nothing for either team.
Yeah, I hear you. There's some thought
to
that.
I go an out-of-conference game, as a matter of fact, for the last game of the year.
That's kind of interesting.
Because you don't want that to affect if the team is playing just for position in the conference, the other one's playing for nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it. That could be the interconference week.
Yeah.
That's a good thought.
That's second-level thinking. So
it is. I like that.
So we're getting some details, and we'll see if all of these reports actually are actually on point.
That's wild,
yeah,
man.
And we're still waiting. We've heard conflicting reports regarding Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. And I don't see anything here about the Eagles and the Dolphins, which was reported earlier. Jeff kind of refuted that report and gave us week one and week two. So we'll see what happens. We'll see
what comes
out, and we'll go from there.
I like it.
Feel good about it. Let's squeeze in a call. Let's go to Mike in Philly. He's been hanging. He joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, Michael?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, quick, I had two observations about the Phillies game last night. Unfortunately, I'm not, like, a diehard Phillies fan, but I got the goal. And, like, the first inning was, like, electrifying. It felt like the park was shaking. But there's two things I kind of, like, noticed. As I'm going into the stadium, I'm looking around, and, you know, people got their T-shirts and jerseys on. And I see nothing but, like, Bryce Harper, and I see, like, a lot of the older players, like Schmidt, Rollins. Uh-huh. And I didn't see any other, like, current players with, like, jerseys or T-shirts. So that was my first thought. And then my second thought was probably the funniest thing of the night. Some kid, he's probably like a college kid, he jumps and gets him to the field, and he's, like, running around for, like, 5 minutes.
But
the funniest thing I was noticing is that the security was nothing but older, fat guys, and they could not catch this kid. Like, this kid was running for, like, 5 minutes. I'm thinking, like, how do you get a job for security and you can't even catch the dude who you need to catch? So that was just my two questions. If y'all can just, you know.
Well, people were calling for the taser last. I remember the taser. Tase him!
I just wanted to see your thoughts on the first one was why.
I saw a Reese today.
Yeah.
I saw Reese Hoskins today, a couple of them.
Okay. Yeah, but me and my buddy was like, yo, it's nothing but.
No, you're right.
There's a Segura right there. He's got two Segura on.
That's good.
That's a good jersey.
There's a Schmitty one. How about that? Another Schmitty.
That's old throwback.
That's it. There she goes.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Steve Carlton. I've seen a lot of, like, Hollins and Utley.
Yeah.
But I didn't see, like, a lot of people that had, like, the current players.
Well, it takes time. You know, and over the last 6 years, don't forget, though, Mike. I mean, who were you going to buy?
That's true.
Are you going to buy a Carlos Santana? You know what I mean?
No.
They weren't exactly winning.
You're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, I see a nice blonde one over here by the fire. She's got a Hoskins. You know? All right.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, buddy. See you, Mikey.
Yeah, it's going to take a little while for those new ones to populate. I mean, we're not even in May yet with this new squad.
Yeah.
Get down here to the store over there, the team store, and load up. You know?
Yeah.
Which one would you go with? Current. You go Scotty Kingery? Or are you going right to the top of the heap and go Bryce? See, I want a guy that's got a double number.
Kutch.
You going Kutch?
Kutch doesn't last long.
Yeah, it may not be the longest shelf life jersey.
But I like the Kutch.
I
kind of like Kutch a lot.
I do, too. I like a jersey, though, with two numbers on it. Like, Harper went with three, just the number three. It used to be 34.
Right.
I like the double number jersey. It takes up more real estate. You know what I mean?
That's good. All right.
It's the problem I always have with Bernie Parent jerseys, just the number one on.
Yeah, that's an iconic jersey.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody else will wear it, but
it's not 16, but it's one.
Yeah,
one's a big deal.
What was your number you wore?
13.
You, what? 13. You went lucky number 13?
I was born on 13th.
Really?
So I always wore 13.
So you wore 13?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
13 or 6.
Oh, you're sitting on the line. I don't want that.
Yeah, mostly 13.
Doc.
Yeah.
I was a 35 guy.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
35?
Yeah.
Frost. Froze. Yeah. Bob Froze.
It wasn't for that, believe me. I don't know why.
Wayne Stevenson was 35, too, I think.
Yeah. Remember Pete Peters was double threes?
Yes.
Pelly, 31. There you go.
There's your goalies. Who's 30?
Recent guy? 30.
Phil Mir, wasn't he 30?
Was Phil Mir 30?
30 or 31.
You might have been 30. That's a good call by you. Yeah,
I'm trying to think about Phil Mir.
But Bush was a 33.
Yes.
Eshie was a 43. No, Biron was 43. Eshie was 42. A midday show takeover today was brought to you by Sabre On Point. IT solutions for a changing world. Visit SabreOnPoint.com and set up your free consultation. And enjoy the next couple of days. I'm going to be
all
off.
Right. Enjoy yourself, brother.
Off to the
Have
Cape.
A safe trip.
With the family, and I'm going to enjoy it. And Mikey Miss is coming up next. Handoff brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more info, visit Hand2ShoulderCenter.com. Have a great day. Stay tuned for Mikey Miss up next on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.